great future for us. And Lord, we want to walk in it. We want to walk in the good works that you've prepared. Father, as individuals, as mothers, as fathers, as husbands, as wives, as neighbors, as employees, as employers, God, there's places for us to live out what it means that we are following you. So God, show us in each of those areas of our lives that we have some degree of influence. Show us how we could do that so we can honor you in all we do. God, as we open and look at and continue just to be ministered to by your Holy Spirit, continue to have your way and use me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I was preparing, I was very cognizant of the fact that I was going to have some extended time for the promotion, so I've adjusted things. So for those of you who are looking at your watch going, he's just getting in there, it's 10 after 11, we'll be good. We'll be good. But as I said, you know, we're looking to use and take advantage of really the beauty of what's at our fingertips this day and age. That there are ministries and there are people, and we have, you know, whether it be video or print or just the ability to leverage some of these things as we get together and use and get to take advantage of other folks' gifts and then mingle them with what God's doing in our life. And as I was getting ready to prepare for today and even last week, anticipating this week, knowing that we had finished our studies in Luke. And I alluded last week, if you weren't here, I already knew that this was not the week to start something new because I had a few other things I thought God was leading me to share. And as I started to put this together, it definitely came together. So at least I said that. You'll see when you leave, you'll go, what was he talking about? No, but there was really two things that kind of kept coming over and over into my mind. And as I was thinking about them, I knew that there are just two things that he really wanted to communicate to us all this morning. Remind us, it's not anything new, okay, but it's the truth. And when you hear the truth, whether you've been walking in it or not, it does something to your soul. You're like, oh, that's so good. And the two things I want you to walk away with today, I'm telling you up front, so then we'll see them, are the fact that God wants to be your friend, okay, and that he wants you to have a life that has joy in it. So it's friend and joy. Those are two of the things that God wants. There's other things, but friend and joy. And when you think about a friend, okay, a true friend, I'm hoping that all of you at one point in your life or even now have had the experience of having a friend that you can really trust, right? Someone that just gets you. They get you. It doesn't matter. You can misspeak. You can make mistakes. Okay, they just get you. They're not easily offended. They're one of those people who, regardless of when it was you last spoke with them, you start speaking like you were talking 5 minutes ago, right? And it could have been 5 years. It could have been 15 years. And there's just something there. And there's a parallel, I think, in our relationship with God, because he's been desiring to be our friend. And depending on the level of intimacy that you develop and can develop, you can know him like that. That's his desire. He wants to be our friend. So the couple of questions I started asking myself and found myself thinking about is, well, how well can you know God? I mean, he's God, you know. So how much can I really know about him? He's infinite, right? He's ever expanding. He's ever who he is. I realized I can know everything that he's willing to let me know about him. And then when I look at what he did in the scriptures and how well he's exposing who he is, I'm like, wow. And this is just here. That's why eternity is going to be getting to know him even more. But, you know, so I'm asking the question, how well can that, you know, can we get to know him? And then I'm thinking, like, well, I'm the pastor. Like, I got to, like, really, do I get some sort of special handshake or something that, like, gets me in to know him better? Like, do I, you know, do something, some sort of secret code or the special knock or something? And I'm realizing, no. You know, we all come the same way. We come through Jesus, okay? But through him, we get to come in, and now we're joint heirs. And now we get the Son, all the privileges that the Son was going to get now become ours. Right? This is the type of friendship that God's calling us to. And the way that friends can talk back and forth to each other, and you get each other, you hear each other. We think of these words that we use. I know it had me thinking about how well can we know his voice? How well do I know his voice? I know that there were times, and I had to repent a little bit, But I'd hear people say, oh, yeah, and then God told me this, and then God told me that, and then God told me this. And I'm like thinking to myself, come on, he doesn't talk to me like that. You know, they act like he was sitting in their kitchen this morning. And I'm realizing to a degree, hey, as we walk with God, it can be like that. Hey, now, the same way as your children grow up, hey, there's a period of time that as they're growing, that you're communicating with them more and more, and you're giving some guidance to them. And then over time, okay, maybe you don't communicate with them every day, but you have a great relationship where you work towards that. Okay, I think in some ways it's like that with the Father, yet at any moment in time, okay, we can seek and we can call on him and go, I need to hear you on this one. You know, I need it to be clear. And God has this way of drawing us deeper, whether it be the circumstances or situations that we face, but he has these ways of just drawing us deeper, and there's that hunger. And he knows that as we seek him, as we read earlier, as we seek him, he will be found. It's part of his desire. And I started to think about how well I hear his voice and how much I long to continue to grow in that. You know, and there's ways that he confirms, even today, I mentioned to Pastor Dave as we got started, I throw Pandora on when we first get here, and usually I put on the worship station, okay, keep everybody nice and calm. But sometimes, depending on my mood, okay, I might have the Toby Mac station on, okay? It's usually pretty loud. But the first song that was on that station, and it was actually a song by Jamie Grace about being friends with God. I'm like, cool, because it's totally random. You know how Pandora works? You just open it, and whatever song is going to be shot to you at that moment was there. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm like, oh, that's good. Thank you, God. All right, I'll keep going with the message. It must be the right one. I won't call in a pinch hitter, you know. But that's the way God is. He speaks to us in all kinds of different ways, and it's not all chapter and verse, though it'll always be supported chapter and verse. So it's a part of walking with him. So we're not going to answer all these questions exhaustively, but enough so that I want you to leave here today excited to just be with God, to meet with him, to think about time you're going to get to spend with him, maybe later today, maybe tomorrow, that it's just going to be you guys, you and him, okay? Because he's excited to meet with you. So I'm going to have us turn to a couple of places in our Bible. I'm going to reference a lot of verses. If you have the notes, you'll have them there. I don't want you to panic about them. You can get the notes when you leave for your reference. I'd rather you just kind of take it in. But there'll be two main places that we pause at and read a little bit of an extended portion. And the first of those two is in Exodus 33. So while you're either finding it in your Bible, it's a second book, or turning or clicking, whatever you need to do. I'll tell that some of you that this is the Old Testament. I know we haven't been there in a while, okay? But Exodus is in the Old Testament. So if maybe you saved some money and you only picked up a New Testament saying, this seems to be where he is a lot of the time, I'll be good with this. Or maybe you really saved some money, you just picked up a book of Luke, and you were like, yeah, I got this. Okay? Today you're going to need some of the other books, okay, in your Bible. So hope I'm not causing anybody to get out of joint there. Or as Pastor Dave says, I hope the wheels didn't fall off your bus, okay? But we're going to be in the Old Testament. I will tell you, I saw a video clip, and it's one of these things where you're like, I really never thought that could ever happen, and now I'm going to be thinking about it next time I come upon. Do you ever drive on the highway and see those log trucks where the back is full of huge trees that they've trimmed all the branches off, and these logs are on top of each other, okay? And you just look at it going, whoa, I can't imagine how heavy that is. I hope that doesn't. It's on video. Yeah, now thankfully nobody was hurt. And the truck tilted. The axle broke. So the axle broke on one of these log trucks. Okay, and the thing tilted to its right. And the driver was okay. And the logs all went out off the road. But you're just like, how am I ever going to pass one of those things again? So anyway, I'm off track. I was really just getting to say, keep the wheels on our bus here. But Exodus 33. Let me read to us verses 7 through 11. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he'd gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship, each at his tent door. Thus, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. I'll stop there. As a man speaks to his friend. Isn't that amazing? Face to face. There was an intimacy that Moses had with God that was unique. Okay, it was unique for that time. Though if we look backwards into our Bible, there's definitely other times that the Lord had this sort of intimacy and a special relationship. But Moses was getting to see him face to face. In James, there's a reference to the fact that Abraham was called a friend of God as well. Yeah, so here Moses was his friend. Abraham was his friend. If you're going backwards in your Bible, we see that Noah had conversations with God. And I've always wondered, like when you read the Bible, it just says, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. And I've often said, like, I wonder how they were hearing him. Obviously, some cases and some situations, like for Moses, it was just like two people sitting there having a conversation. And for him, we know what happens, right? He would leave and he would be glowing. Right? They'd have to cover his face sometimes because in God's presence, there was such a purity, okay, that Moses would actually start to reflect some of that back. And that really, that's one of our opportunities, right? The more time we spend with God, we start to reflect that. Okay? And we, with unveiled faces, get to reflect God. That's crazy. It's part of what he's calling us to as his friend. So Noah got to converse with God as well. And as we look backwards, obviously Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. And it's always been God's plan to be in relationship with his people. So as we move forward, and we move forward, God, okay, he was working through Moses. He called this nation. He's revealing himself. Okay, we get to know him by what he tells us about himself, what he's revealed. And we know that there are some things that are general revelation. They're made known to everybody. Okay? And it's a part of what Paul references in Romans when he says, you know, you look up at the sky. They're declaring his glory. David said it as a psalmist. The heavens declare your glory, God. Paul actually references that and says, you know, none of us have excuse before God. Because if we just take in what's in front of us, it takes way more faith to believe that it's been evolving from some primordial sloop than to think that God just said, and there was, and let it be, and creates with his mouth, because his glory is revealed. I mean, man right now, right? Think about what academia is, academia, however you say the word. you get a doctorate degree in something by knowing more and more about less and less. That's what it is. Right? You become an expert in something by knowing such minute detail about something. And all you're doing, and this is what I love about science, all you're doing is figuring out how God did it when he said, let there be plants. let there be birds, trees. You know, this stuff just starts happening. And here we are, you know, all of mankind later, and we give the highest level of academic honor to those of you who get what's called a terminal degree. I never liked the sound of that. That sounds like morbid. You have a terminal degree. You know, it means you have a doctorate of study in that field. Okay? But you get it when you have explored and helped advance the cause of that study to a new level, and they bestow upon you this degree. And yet, you know, God just set it into motion, and he is the one that's desired to reveal himself to us. So for as much as we can learn or try to figure out, okay, we're only scratching the scratch on the scratch. So we have a great eternity in front of us. So the Lord is revealing himself. That's what's going on in the scripture. That's what's going on when he called Abraham, when he called and formed Israel to show us who he is, okay, and to make known to us what it's going to take for us to be in relationship with him. And I love what he revealed to Jeremiah. So the other main place I want you to go is Jeremiah 31. So if you have your notes, it should be the next piece of scripture after the James verse. But Jeremiah 31, and you'll see if you have the notes there, that it's also quoted again in Hebrews 8. But Jeremiah 31:31 says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sins no more. Amen. So through Jeremiah, the Lord is pointing forward to a day that the author of Hebrews points out to us. This day has come that the most perfect sacrifice has been made. And no longer does there need to be sacrifices made day after day, because now there is a way that God can come to live and reside within our hearts. And that's the beauty of what he's been calling us to do. You know, God wants you and me to know him. And he wants us to know his mind concerning us. He is setting us all up, and he's setting us all and putting us all in a position that we can be in this relationship with him. Okay? It's because he made a way to forgive our sins. He made a way to put them aside and literally pretend like they never happened. And I love that verse that you see here, and it's throughout the scripture. So dozens of authors over millennia have somehow got this into different places of the scripture, where he will be your God and we will be his people. Okay? We will be his people. And one of the things that we know to be true is that God is perfectly fair. Perfectly fair. And I have a couple references in the notes about God not showing partiality. But what he has done for one, he will do for another. And this is what you and I were made for. It's to be in this type of relationship with God and be his friend. Friend. Right? How many people have this picture of God, like, just waiting for me to mess up so he can whack me or throw a lightning bolt at me? Why? Where does that come from? It might come from some imperfect, you know, things we've seen here on earth. But still, you know, that's not the heart of God. I mean, he's slow to anger. How many times does he say that in the scripture? A lot. Right? Slow to anger. Right? Longing that all would come to him. Here's how Jesus put it. All right, here's Jesus walking around with his disciples. And in John 15, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For what I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Okay? Jesus is letting us know what God has in store and what he wants for us. Okay? Because we're friends with him, and we have this opportunity and this call to walk with God in friendship. And as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, well, this is cool, because for the disciples anyway, like, they got to see him in the flesh. And they got to see Jesus in the flesh, and he's telling them this. But, you know, how does it translate now, 2,000 years later? And if you spend any time in the Bible, you realize Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Don't worry. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God." Okay? That's why the disciples were told, wait. You know, like, they would get nervous thinking he was going to leave, but he's like, wait here. Hey, until you get power from on high. Hey, so you'll not only be empowered, but that same Holy Spirit, he's the one who's going to remind you of the things that Jesus has said. He's going to teach and lead. So the same way that the Lord was prophesying through Jeremiah about what would come into our hearts, here Jesus is telling us the Holy Spirit is coming to help you in this. And even as Peter delivered that first sermon, right, we can read there in Acts 2, Peter told everybody, as they're trying to understand what had happened, he started and said, well, eventually said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off." I am far off. We were far off in time compared to this, yet God saw and called and said, "The Holy Spirit is for you. I am going to send it to you." So that though we weren't here on earth in the days that the Lord Jesus walked in the flesh, we are here in the days that by his Spirit, he is dwelling believers. And everyone who comes to faith in him and says, "God, I need you. Fill me. Fill me." He does that. So even right now, you know, even as we're here, he longs to talk with us and be our friend. So he uses the scriptures, he uses other people. And there's ways, as we start to know him and we learn about what he's revealed about himself, that we can know him better and better. And we do have to focus, and we do have to, I'll say, tune in to what the Lord is doing. You start to understand what frequency he speaks on. And the reality is, the one thing that we need is the receiver, right? Jesus. When Jesus is in you, you now have the capacity to receive. Remember how the scriptures ended just in Luke? You know, he opened their understanding. They came to Jesus and he helped them to understand. That's where it starts. Okay? We need Jesus to cover us, cover our sins, provide that covering so that now I can hear from God. Okay? Now his spirit is in me. Now I can understand. And he opened the disciples' mind, helped them understand what was going on. For us, it happens in our hearts. Okay? It happens within our being. That's why there's some beautiful scripture references that have this imagery. And one of them that a lot of us are familiar with is in Revelation 3 when the Lord says, you know, I'm standing at the door of your heart knocking. If you open the door, I'll come in and eat with you. Probably going to have broiled fish, right? That's what he had last week. Okay, but he wants to come in that communion, that time where you partake together. You're becoming one in this meal that you share. That's a beautiful picture. And John 14, I have this verse in your notes there, that he wants to come and make home with us. So John 14, 23 says, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. Amen. Wow. Amen. Is that incredible? That is unbelievable, but it's believable. Choose to believe it. Right, you choose to believe that you keep God's word, right? You're aligning yourself. Jesus is his word. As we align ourselves with who he is, okay, he and the Father make their home with us. It is a beautiful thing. I love the way Paul put it in Ephesians because he kind of helped us understand that this is going on in our hearts. Ephesians 3, 16, 17 says, according to the riches of glory that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. So we use the verbiage, and as Christians we say, have you received Christ? Have you invited him into your heart? Okay? There's scriptural reasons why we use those words. Okay? That's what you're doing. You're inviting him. When you're inviting him into your heart, you're saying, God, take over the heart of who I am, what makes me. Okay? We know that your physical heart is just that. It's a physical heart. And we know that you can actually live with somebody else's physical heart if you needed a new one. Okay? But you're still a Christian because God dwells within you by his spirit. Okay? And his spirit comes and fills you. It's a powerful, powerful thing. This is the good news. All right, this is the good news. This is what Jesus left heaven for, to come tell this. Okay? And it's actually told us that it was a joy for him. And that's that second word that we're going to get to. That for Jesus, okay, we are the joy that was set before, that a creation of the Father that had this ability to choose, okay, it would bring joy to the Father to see that relationship be restored because there had been a severance in it by our choice. Okay, we all have chosen. Right? We've all turned away. We've all gone away. We can find all those scriptures that tell us that we know that resonate in our hearts when somebody says, have you ever, ever, ever messed up? Of course. Of course I'm not perfect. But in acknowledging that we're not perfect, we're referring to the fact that there is perfection. Okay? And it's found in the Lord. He's the only one that's good. So this concept of joy is weaved through the entire scripture. Right? From Genesis right through. And I selectively pulled out a group of verses. And I say selectively, I mean, one of the things that, and one of the reasons why I like to study the scriptures chapter and verse is because in some ways, you know, for those who try to be crafty, you can almost get the Bible to say anything you want. So it's really important that we understand the context that things are written in and who they are written to and how that does or doesn't apply to us at any one point in time. Yet we do see themes that weave through the scripture and come through. And we could take any one of these verses and look at all that's around it, but they just started to shout to me as I was doing this study that not only does God want me to be my friend, but he wants me to have a joyful life, which then caused me to say, okay, what are the things and why am I ever not joyful? You know, so I started asking myself that question. I'm like, well, what are the things that keep me? Okay, there are things sometimes when I put too much on my plate and I have to say, well, did God tell me to do this? Is this something I'm supposed to be doing? Now, he said his burden's easy. He said it's light, right? So if it's heavy and I ain't feeling too good, all right, have I not properly given it to him? Or am I carrying something I'm not supposed to be carrying? Right? Just questions that we can ask ourselves. But when I saw this And what these verses I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to tie things together as I read them, I realize how much he desired for us to be joyful. So if you have a packet of the notes, I'm going to read through these different portions of Scripture as I tie this together. And you can see I've got verses from the law, from the Psalms, from the prophets, and on into the New Testament. And I'll start with this verse in Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. For 7 days you shall keep the feast to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. Altogether joyful. God was saying, I want you guys to have a party. Okay, this was particularly around the Feast of Booths, and there's another reference to that same feast when Nehemiah helped get it established again, and we'll see that verse, or a verse around that portion. Again, God saying, hey, I want you guys to have a good time. I want you to party, okay? Party in the Lord. We were talking last week about the Villanova kids going ballistic, okay? This is a reason to go ballistic and have a good time in the Lord. David, that is Psalm 16. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Things that God knows satisfy us deeply, not these distortions. Okay? The things of the world are just, there are things that we can enjoy, and we're called to enjoy, and God has given us these good things. And at the same time, there are ways that the enemy has distorted them, perverted them, and made them things that God doesn't intend, things that will hurt us. The power of the scripture that's on this pulpit, right? The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life to the full. So God, the creator of all things, has ways for us to enjoy them that are beautiful, that don't lead to, I'll say, other and compounding repercussions of our bad decisions. So we can look forward to the pleasures that God has for us, knowing that they are complete. This verse out of Ecclesiastes, my quiet times right now are in Ecclesiastes, so this one kind of caught my attention. There's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil, enjoyment in his work. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or have enjoyment? Okay? We need God's perspective on what we're doing to be able to enjoy it. Otherwise, you're always wondering, am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right place? Is this what I'm supposed to be? Should I be going here? So as we do these things and walk before God, there can be a great enjoyment in them. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to the Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord's your strength. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. This is when the Feast of Booths was being reestablished, and they were told, you know what, this is a time to just enjoy who God is. Hey, there's a reason, there's a time and a season, as we read in Ecclesiastes, and there's a time to enjoy, and God has that for us. Moving into the New Testament, a few more scriptures. If you keep my commands, I'm in John 15, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. You might have some sorrow now. Now I'm going a chapter ahead. But I'll see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. Jesus is telling the disciples this. No one will take your joy from you. In that day, you'll ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask my Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you'll receive it, that your joy may be full. This is God's intent. This is God's intent. I know Laura always tells the story when she first started to walk with God. She's like, well, all right, I haven't asked for A's. I need A's. Give me some A's, God. You'll make my joy full. Give me some A's. Okay. He was a good student anyway. But she got an A or not, that was the part of realizing that God does have good things for us. John 17, one more chapter in John. I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. God longed, Jesus longed for us to know him the way, to know the Father the way he knows the Father. Because he knows in that, there is this joy that starts to well up in who you are. Paul in Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Joy is right there. It's number two, right after love. It doesn't get much better than that, right? So joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Do I have to do the hand motions from last year? If you were here last Wednesday in the summer, we all got fruit of the Spirit hand motions. So, okay, my last scripture for you this morning, Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joy in the Holy Spirit. God has called us, right? I'm saying to you, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, these are beautiful truths that God has. To be his friend, to have a life that's full of joy. I mean, it sounds great. Yeah, tell me all the good stuff, right? There are times we need to hear the good stuff, right? God wants to be your friend. Right? Think about that. Think about it tomorrow when you have an opportunity. I'm not saying you got to get up 2 hours before work and because that's the only time the Holy Spirit can be heard is between like 5 and 7. Okay? He's speaking continually. Laura hears him between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m., okay? Some of you here in between 5 and 7, set some time. It doesn't have to be 2 hours. Set some time, 10 minutes. Some time that you're going to be alone with him, realizing that God wants to meet with you. He wants to talk with you. Okay? You have this opportunity. We have freedom in this country to do this. Okay? You have the freedom. Take advantage of it. Find some time and carve it out every day. Don't let a day slip by. It's like, how many days can you go without charging your phone? Right? Depending on your battery, right? Depending on how old your phone is. But you know the way you kind of lose your mind if your battery, if your phone's dying? I gotta get it charged. I gotta get charged. Sandy hits. What happens? Verizon has this brilliant idea. They send out vans that are just charging. I don't know what they're running on, but right? So you can go to these vans and plug my stuff in so I can talk to somebody. I haven't been on Facebook in 48 hours or whatever it is. You know? I don't know if anybody liked what I posted. I can't. Okay. But you get to this point where you need to be charged. You need to be charged. You can't let your battery run down. And whether you realize it or not, hey, this is the only charge you really need. This is the perspective. This is the energy. This is the power that allows you to see. Good word. I need to be recharged. It's Dave and I, every week, we both check the batteries before we put them in there. So, but yeah, there's times we just need to be recharged. And this is the way God has made you. He has wired this into you. And he said he can give you this joy and you can have the power that you need daily. Daily, right? What did the Lord say? We don't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's our bread. Amen? Amen. This is God's word to you this morning, to be his friend. I put it in takeaway form at the end of your notes there. God wants to be your friend, even if you haven't spoken to him in a while. Call him. Okay? Real quick, be like, you never left. All right? Never left. Don't let time go. Don't let guilt get in there and lie. Right? Because those lies, if they're making you feel guilty, okay, condemnation is the enemy. Condemnation is the enemy. Conviction is God wooing you back, right? His kindness leads us to repent. So if we got something to repent for, he's standing there with open arms saying, it's okay, come on. I knew anyway. I saw that you were going to do that before. I've paid for it. You know, come receive that forgiveness. And so lastly, he wants to give you his joy. He wants to give you his joy. And I'm beginning to pray more for myself that I'll have a life that's joyful. That it's evident, not a fake. I don't want to, you know, put on the smiley Christian face and pretend it's always perfect. Okay, but joy is deep. Okay, it's solid. It's why when the Lord said, "If you're going to obey my words, it doesn't matter if the storms come." You're built on the rock of obeying. That's what he said. If you do what I say, it's like you're building your house on a rock. Okay, if you do what he says, the Father will come and dwell with you. You do what he says, hey, we have this joyful life. Amen? Amen. Let me close this in prayer. And as is true every week, if you have a need that you want us to agree in prayer, we invite you to come up. if you need to just recommit some things to God, come do business with God. And if you've never invited him into your heart, it's by faith. Okay, you can come, and we'd love to walk you in inviting him in. So if you stand, I'll pray a blessing over you and dismiss you. So Father God, we say thank you again. Thank you again, Lord, that you are so patient, okay, you're loving, and you long to just hold us, to be in relationship with us, to have us spend time with you. So Father, we commit ourselves, and I commit myself, Lord, to continue to walk after you and spend time with you, Lord, that we won't let the distractions of this world and the things that get in the way keep us from what's truly important. I need to be charged by you. I need to be just in your presence so that even I, even we, could reflect who you are to this world that needs you, Lord. They need the perspective. They need to have their sins forgiven. God, we all need to have our sins forgiven. So, Father, I pray this blessing over this congregation as I dismiss them. And the words that Moses used when he said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're blessed and dismissed. Have a great day. Come up for prayer if you need it.